Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, tonight it's going to be, for the first hour, you out there in the listening audience, because this is Open Line Wednesday. And if you have something you'd like to talk about, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and you give us a call and we'll be glad to talk about what you want to talk about. But I was just listening to a program broadcast on a little local station where we live, and they were talking about the tests that our students take, American students take, in comparison with children from throughout the world as our students move towards graduation. And when they take their tests and competitively with students from throughout the world, as American students are ready to graduate, we rank 25th in the world. 25th. And could you imagine what would happen if we went to the Olympics and the American athletes came out 25th compared with the rest of the world? And why, we would put on a program immediately to try to improve our athletes so that we could compete with the rest of the world. But in the real world, the world, the financial world, the mechanical world, the engineering world, the scientific world, our students rate 25th. How could that possibly happen? Well, a lot of people will say our educational system has failed, and there's no question our educational system has failed. We do not teach our children to read using phonics. We teach them the look-see method, which we know will dumb them down, and we don't teach them adequate math, and we don't give them the discipline they need, and we don't give them the incentive they need. All we do is tell them how great they are, and let me tell you, the students here in the United States have a great deal of self-esteem. They think that they're the best in the world, and they're mediocre as a whole. They're mediocre as a whole. But it's not all the students' fault. Because you see, they're being systematically poisoned. Their minds are being poisoned with fluoride. They're being poisoned with aluminum. They're being poisoned with mercury. They're being destroyed with multiple vaccinations. You know, one of the things that they know, and those of you who are regular listeners, I think it's tomorrow evening, we have Neil Miller on, who's written some wonderful books on vaccinations. And he points out that a child has chickenpox. Ordinarily, of course, nothing happens to them. They recover from chickenpox, they do fine. Or if they have measles, and they recover from chickenpox, from their measles, they do fine. But if they have chickenpox and measles together, why, many times there are serious problems. In fact, if they have chicken pox, rubella, they have measles and German measles, they have measles, and they have and mumps together, many times these children will have serious neurological sequences and consequences. And yet that's exactly what we do to our children today. We give them MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, and rubella, and we give it all three, and we're giving them three infections at the same time with live viruses, and then we wonder why, of course, the incidence of autism skyrocketed when that happened, and so many of the children had persistent infections. We are poisoning their minds with fluoride. When you fluoridate water, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, 68% of the communities in the United States have fluoridated water. And, of course, most of it's fluoridated with hydrofluorosilicic acid. And that which contains lead and contains arsenic and contains polonium-220 in addition to the fluoride, why would you do something like that to a child? Why would you fluoridate the water and let them drink water that has lead in it? There's no safe level of lead. And there's no safe level of fluoride. Why are we doing this? Well, they know in the studies that fluoride lowers the intelligence ratio of our children. We're poisoning our children today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And it's Open Line Wednesday, and we're looking forward to your calls. But we're talking about why it is that American children really can't compete. We are 25th in comparison with countries throughout the world. And, of course, this is not happening by accident. Certainly, there are a number of studies been done in China comparing children who live in fluoridated and non-fluoridated areas where the water is fluoridated. And, of course, they don't intentionally fluoridate it. They're trying to get the fluoride out of the water in China because they don't want to harm the minds of their children and of their people. And, of course, fluoride has so many toxic effects on the endocrine system and on carcinogenic, and we won't get into a discussion of fluoride. I want to just talk about what it does in the mind, but they know what it does to the mind. That's why the Germans added fluoride to the water in the occupied areas during the Second World War to actually make the people more docile and to dumb them on down. You don't want smart people who might be plotting against your government when you are an oppressor and you've taken over their country. This is why the Russians use fluoride in the Gulag Archipelago on their prisoners, because, of course, they wanted to make them more mellow, and fluoride does make you more mellow, but it also, of course, it decreases the intelligence somewhere between 5 and 10%. You say that can't be true. Why, if it was true, we wouldn't be fluoridating our water. After all, it has to do with children's cavities and giving them stronger teeth. And I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the greatest lies of all time. But a lie told often enough comes to be believed. Actually, of course, these studies are there. And, of course, anybody who questions what I'm saying should go to the website of the scientists and the engineers and the people who work for the Environmental Protection Agency, the people, the scientists, the engineers, the technicians who work for the Environmental Protection Agency of the United States government know that we are poisoning the American people, and they can't get the information out. You're never going to have them, of course, appear before a Senate committee and tell the truth. And if they do, why, that'll be totally blacked out by the controlled media, and it'll be suppressed. But you can go to their website at NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org, and simply pull down the articles that they've posted that they've been trying to get out across America, pointing out that fluoride is a poison, and it's poisoning the minds of our children. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I was simply discussing the fact that when our children graduate from high school and are tested competitively with children from other countries, we are number 25. And if this had happened as far as our athletics were concerned, why, my goodness, we'd have a national program to try to improve the athletics, of the American children and young people. But when our children test 25 as far as their learning ability and their ability to think and their knowledge is concerned, why, we say, well, we're just going to invest more money from the federal government. We're going to have a No Child Left Behind program. And these programs are not designed to improve the minds of our children. They're intended to dumb them down. This is why we're not teaching them how to read phonetically. This is why we're not teaching them regular math. This is why we're not teaching proper history or geology or anything else in our schools. We are intentionally dumbing down our children, but that is not the whole story. We are also intentionally and purposely poisoning the minds of our children. And, of course, one of the things that they do, of course, the water fluoridation. And anybody who believes that water fluoridation is safe should go to the website that is posted by the Union of the Employees of the Environmental Protection Agency who work in Washington, D.C. for our government, who for years have been trying to warn the American people that water fluoridation is poisoning our people. And you can go to their website. That's NTEU280.org. NTEU280.org. It stands for National, National Employees, or National Engineers, I think, Trade Union or something of the sort. And National Employees Trade Union, something of the sort. But 280, NTEU280.org. Go there and read what they're telling you about, how it dumbs down our children. And, of course, in the studies that have been done in China, which they refer to, why it knocks 5 to 10 points off the IQ of our children. Are you concerned? Could this really be true? And then, of course, as we mentioned during the first segment of our program, of course, if you take and give people multiple infections at one time, children multiple infections, why they get neurological sequelae, and what do we do? Why, starting at 6 months of age, we start giving them three vaccines at one time, which are with live viruses, to give the child a live virus infection, measles, mumps, and rubella. And then we wonder why the incidence of autism has skyrocketed. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and we've got Frank on the line from Salinas. Hi, Frank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. You have a question or comment?
Yes. Could you tell me if both presidential candidates and both vice presidential candidates are members of the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission?
All right. Let me tell you, first of all, that John McCain is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Barack Obama is not a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, although we're surrounded by people who are members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And one of his largest financiers has been George Soros, comes from the Council on Foreign Relations. And until recently, his chief foreign policy advisor was Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's a member of both the CFR and the head man who actually organized the Trilateral Commission. Joseph Biden, at the present time, is not a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. But if you go up on the Internet and you type in Joseph Biden CFR, you'll find a number of entries there from the Council on Foreign Relations about recent talks he's given for them and recent reports he's prepared for the Council on Foreign Relations. And Joseph Biden was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations in 1988. At least he was on the list at that time. And if you Google in Biden CFR, you'll get that information. And then Sarah Palin is not a member of any of these organizations, to my knowledge.
Is she surrounded by
Not to my knowledge. I do not find any evidence that she is suddenly surrounded by people from the CFR. I think that she was picked because, she certainly, is a woman, number one. They wanted the woman's vote. She's a Christian, and at least everything from her history and from her actions suggests she's a Christian and very pro-life, so she'll get the pro-life Christian vote. I think that's the reason she was picked, because John McCain needed to do something to try to get the conservatives and the Christians and the women vote, and I think it was the smartest thing he ever did. Now, this was not his idea. William Kristol, who's the head of the neoconservatives, some months ago had suggested Sarah Palin, and certainly of the people who are backing McCain, who are not good people at all, suggested Sarah Palin because she really has all the qualifications. I don't think she'll have any influence on anything. She's simply there as a pretty face. She will not influence policy at all, and they're going to utilize her. And, of course, she will either go along with their system or they'll destroy her. But right now, even Newsweek magazine is backing Sarah Palin. So, certainly almost everything I've heard about her seems to be fairly good.
About the Trilateral Commission, or does it make any difference?
Well, no, to my knowledge, she's not a member of the Trilateral Commission. No, certainly the only person who's a trilateralist none of them are members of the Trilateral Commission. But you know, certainly remember back when Ronald Reagan was running for political office, he was very, very critical of the Trilateral Commission, the fact Jimmy Carter was surrounded by members of the Trilateral Commission, and then, of course, when Ronald Reagan got in, why, he brought a large number of them into his administration. And I suspect this will happen. No matter who gets elected, whether it's a John McCain or Barack Obama, they will bring people from the Council on Foreign Relations from the Bilderbergers and from the Trilateral Commission to their administration, because the Secretary of State always comes from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations. The head of the CIA always comes from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations. The Secretary of State always comes from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations. Doesn't matter whether it's the Democrats or Republicans. And of course, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board always comes from the membership roles of the CFR, which is really our invisible government. And what nobody will tell you is that it's a front organization for a secret society. How can I say that? Well, very simply, Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley, who is really the, at least according to Samuel Harper, who is a professor of history at the present time back at Harvard, has said that Professor Quigley was the most outstanding historian of the last century. And in Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, which was suppressed for many years, and we even have an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells that story. But Professor Quigley, on pages 951 and 952, points out that the Council on Foreign Relations was organized in 1929 as a front for the Round Table, the American branch of the Round Table, and for J.P. Morgan interests. And, of course, if you read the rest of the book, you'll find out the Round Table was a front for the Association of Helpers, which was a front for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created in 1891, a secret society, although Professor Quigley doesn't mention it, but we document that in our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, a secret society that was based and founded in the occult. That's what it's really all about. And what is the occult desire? To create a world government, to destroy Christianity, and of course to impose a one world ruler. That's what it's really all about. And unfortunately, it really doesn't matter whether Obama or whether McCain get in. They're all controlled by the same people. It's all smoke and mirrors. And that's why what happened, I think it was either today or yesterday, was so important. I think it was today when Congressman Ron Paul held a press conference and said, back one of the third-party candidates. Do not back either of the two major parties. And I think he's absolutely right. Took a lot of courage on his part, but he's absolutely right. It doesn't make, there's not a dime's worth of difference between either one of them. Anything else, Frank?
No, that's very unfortunate.
It really is unfortunate, but what we have to make people understand is that it is all a sham. It's all rhetoric over reality. It's symbolism over substance. They've got to convince us that we have a choice, and it's exciting. And of course, Obama gets up and talks about you can't put pig on a lipstick, or, you know, of course, it's still a pig. Well, and then, of course, they debate that all, and he's insulting Sarah Palin. It's all to get our attention away from what's really important, and that is that this is a scam. We go through it every 4 years, and as Professor Quigley said in his book on pages 1247 and 1248, what we need, you know, is to have two political parties that are essentially the same, so that every 4 years the people can go to the polls to throw the rascals out, but the foreign and domestic policy will remain the same, and it's going to remain the same, Frank, I fear. But our job is to let people understand what's going on, and try to get all those people over there in Salinas listening.
Thank you very much.
God bless, and thanks very much. All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Right now, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. Like you, I found it astounding how much airtime went by today talking about lipstick on pigs. The major talk show hosts nationwide spent a third or a half of their airtime, it seems, anyhow, just talking about that, replaying and replaying these clips, the audio clips of the candidates. And I just had to wonder, what is the point except to waste our time on stupid issues?
But you see, that's what it's all about, Mike.
Yeah.
You want to waste the people's time. You don't want people thinking about the important issues. What's the real difference? Oh, well, Obama wants to raise taxes and McCain wants to cut taxes. McCain voted against President Bush's tax cut bill. About the only thing Bush did right. Of course, he cut taxes and then raised spending. You can't do that very long. Hey, look, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hang on there, Mike. We'll be back in just a moment. If you're out there, give us a call. We'll go right ahead, Mike.
Yeah, well, I want to talk briefly about the mercury situation here in the San Francisco Bay, or the Bay Area, how the EPA and local authorities connected to the San Francisco Bay have decided that too much mercury has been coming into the water from the dentists. And it's so odd because the news articles, you can find them on the internet, people. You just type in San Francisco Bay, mercury, EPA, words like that. And so they're so concerned, they're defining mercury as a neurotoxin and all kinds of, you know, hazardous aspects of this liquid metal, and then they talk about how it's poisoning the bay, and roughly 61% of the mercury problem in the bay is coming from dental facilities, because when they're putting filling amalgams in the mouth or taking them out, one way or another, the mercury gets into the waste system and goes into the bay water. And in this whole discussion, they're leaving out the human beings that are in the middle of it all, living with this poison in their mouth for many people most of their lives. If you live to be 70 years old, chances are for 45 or 50 years you've had amalgam in your mouth, poisoning you, destroying your brain, and these articles are leaving that out of it completely.
I agree with you totally, and I think that it's so vitally important that people understand that they're putting mercury fillings in our mouths to poison us. Now, of course, I don't think the average dentist believes that, but I believe that there are people who know just how toxic the mercury is, and they don't care. Because, of course, mercury is certainly one of the most toxic of all substances. I think it's second only to polonium-220. And, of course, you know, it has a profound impact on the mind. It's carcinogenic. It attacks the endocrine system. There's hardly a system in the body that is not poisoned by mercury. But its greatest effect is on the mind, and we're poisoning the minds of our children. We're poisoning the minds of our adults. There's a definite relationship between mercury and Alzheimer's disease. Of course, it's not just mercury, it's the aluminum we give them with their in their injections, and then of course the vaccinations, the multiple vaccinations, have a harmful and inflammatory effect on the brain. Of course, we insist on giving the elderly this influenza vaccine, which doesn't do a bit of good, but is loaded with mercury. And then of course we leave the fillings in them, and those fillings are constantly venting mercury. And have you ever seen the pictures of the smoking tooth? And, of course, there's no question at all, if you study it, and there have been animal studies and other things done, that the mercury that is in the fillings is constantly venting, and every time you chew, every time you drink anything hot, why, of course, you get a little shot of mercury, and there's no safe shot of mercury. And I think it's really rather exciting. I'm so glad the public health authorities up there in the Bay Area have put out this directive, and they're going to demand that the dentists all have a mercury trap in their office to cut down, of course, the mercury contamination of the Bay Area. In fact, they're telling people, do not eat fish caught in the San Francisco Bay Area because of the high level of mercury, and I think they're absolutely right.
Well, I was amazed, like I said a few minutes ago, that they're saying that 61% of the mercury problem in the bay is coming from dentistry. That's right. A really high percentage.
It certainly is. And hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I trust our telephone number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and this is Open Line Wednesday. So if you'd like to give us a call, you have a question, a comment, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And Mike has just been talking about a recent article appeared in the San Jose Mercury, here in the the Santa Cruz Sentinel, and in other newspapers, talking about how there's a serious problem of mercury toxicity poisoning of the fish in the San Francisco Bay Area, and 60% of the mercury that's contaminating the San Francisco Bay Area comes from dental offices, where either dentists are either putting in fillings or taking out fillings. But of course, they never mention about the horrible toxicity it is as far as the individual, because those fillings, which they call silver fillings, they're not. They're mercury fillings, they're 50% mercury, and they're constantly venting mercury during your entire life, which is one reason, of course, why the incidence of Alzheimer's disease is rising so rapidly, why the incidence of Parkinson's disease and other neurological problems is rising so rapidly, is because we are poisoning our people, especially our elderly, not only with the fillings, but, of course, with the influenza shots, which is loaded with mercury, they don't do any good, but they certainly do a lot of harm. And yet the CDC insists that all of our senior citizens should take influenza injections. Doesn't matter, they don't do any good. They should take them anyway. And the reason, of course, they're not telling you is because they're loaded with mercury, with thimerosal. And there are people who feel there are too many elderly. What a wonderful way to do away with them, by giving them shots. And until you understand, there really are people out there who want to kill off the majority of the elderly people. And certainly there are instance after instance, whether it be Dr. Sam Keane speaking at the State of the World Forum back in 1995, that was Gorbachev's State of the World Forum, where he actually got up in front of a class, and our friend Barrett Shows has the tapes of that, and he said, you know, what we really want to do is get rid of 90% of the world's population, and of course that will solve a lot of our problems. And he got a standing ovation from the crowd. There's a professor down at the University of Texas, and you can Google this, and who wants to get rid of 90% of the world population. And he got a standing ovation. You can go back to Elberton, Georgia, and see the Georgia Guidestones there in Elberton, Georgia. And, of course, they're inscribed in 8 different languages. This is the plan that comes from the pit of hell. And, of course, point number one is maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature, which means that they're going to have to kill off over 90% of the world population. This is not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. It is real. There really are evil and wicked people there who want to kill off the majority of the world's population, which is why they're doing everything they can to prepare us for a nuclear war, why we are transferring the material, the nuclear technology, to Pakistan so they can build their nuclear bombs. They already have, but so they can share that information with the other Muslim nations so we can get into a nuclear war with the Muslim world. And people say, why would anybody in their right mind want a nuclear war with the Muslim world? And the answer is, because we're not dealing with people in their right mind. We're people who have a different worldview, because they worship a different God. Okay, Mike, I'll be quiet. You go ahead.
Well, just one more thing real quick. Back to your discussion about the Council on Foreign Relations membership list. Many listeners probably don't know that you can go on Google and type in Council on Foreign Relations membership, and you can get various websites that give the lists of the names of the members. Likewise, trilaterals, and some even include Bilderbergers. But we have to realize that for the CFR members, at least, it's optional whether or not their names are made public on any lists, whether it's a CFR published list or somebody else. You can go, and I'm saying this because you can go on the CFR website itself, and they give you the statement. Well, they give you the membership procedure. You have to be invited, and all different criteria having to do with membership, and they also state that it's optional whether or not it would ever be made public that you're a member. So it can be difficult to tell with some of these high politicians and people in industry and education and every other area of life that, well, the people at the upper echelons of pretty much every area of life seem to be involved in one way or another. And the best thing we can do is look at their policies, the things that they say, and see how much it aligns with the Council on Foreign Relations. They can't. The CFR can't take in everybody. They're up to around 4,000 members now. I don't know how many members they really want.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Mike. We'll be back. Remember, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Right now we have Mike on the line. Mike, go ahead and pick up the story. You're saying that certainly they do not necessarily publish the names of all of the members, and go right ahead with what you were saying.
Right. So whether or not a person is actually a member is almost beside the point, because their policies will be just as devastating regardless. And many would have their names published publicly because it's prestigious. And they don't really have to worry about people like us doing any real damage anyhow to them, I think. I'm sorry to say. But a William Kristoline, even, I'm thinking, I was just looking the other night and I can't even remember right now. I don't think he's even on the list. But nonetheless, his policies are just as devastating. If you read the document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, this is an insidious document that outlines the United States' intention for military global domination, amongst other things, such as bioengineering viruses that are, specific to...
They're actually race-specific,
yeah.
So they can design diseases so they can target specific races.
Yeah, there's another word, but that's close enough.
Genetically designed.
Yeah, anyhow. I think that's on page 60, if I remember right. So that would be, yeah, for political purposes, not just for defensive. The title of the thing is, like I said, Rebuilding America's Defenses, but it has almost nothing to do, well, I suppose that if you dominate the world militarily, then you are assured of a sound defense. I don't really agree with the way we're going about dominating the world militarily, and it seems to me we have the wherewithal right now to defend ourselves against any aggressor. Be that as it may, I just wanted to put that out about the Council on Foreign Relations membership. And the best thing anybody can do is research their materials as much as you can and become familiar with how they think and how they operate and what they intend for your life and everybody else on the planet. And then you can recognize their ideas, no matter who is espousing them, because so many people in all the professions and government at all levels are adopting the CFR policies. It goes right down into the educational system. If you study Rockefeller policies, the kind of foundation.
Hold that thought. Well, our guest, of course, out there in the listening audience is you. We've been talking to Mike from Santa Cruz. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, it's 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And of course, Mike has been talking about the Council on Foreign Relations, and he commented that you can go up on the internet and pull down lists from the Council on Foreign Relations membership, that sometimes people are members of the CFR, but the name is not included for one reason or another. They can simply ask their name not be included because they don't want people to realize that they're part of this truly subversive organization. Now, Sydney, if you would like to get a membership list yourself, all you need to do is write to the director of the Council on Foreign Relations, 58 East 68th Street, New York City, New York. The director of the Council on Foreign Relations, 58 East 68th Street, New York City, New York. And, of course, they'll send you a copy of the membership and specifically ask for the annual report with the membership list in it. They'll send it to you free of charge. And it's a handy thing to have on hand. And I used to have them all. I sort of quit getting them because the information, most of the information is available on the Internet. But if you'd like to have that report and understand This is not imaginary. There really is an organization that controls our government, both political parties, and the key people in government always come from there, almost without exception. And the fact that most people do not understand that, and now, of course, they say, oh, well, the Council on Foreign Relations is just a group of people to get together to talk about foreign policy. Nobody will tell you that actually this is a front for a secret society dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation. That's what it's all about. Well, again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Mike, go ahead.
Well, I had one more item, if I may. I'll keep it really short. Don't you have any other callers?
No. Well, go right ahead, Mike.
Well, this to me is, well, to a lot of people, is a very strange election or a presidential campaign. And I say that because both of our presidential candidates, Republican and Democrat, apparently were born outside the United States. I think with McCain it's conclusive. Everybody seems to know that he was born in the Panama Canal Zone, and I don't know. I would like to find out if there is any stretch of the imagination or any odd possibility that somehow his birthplace can be construed as fulfilling the constitutional requirement for the president. And then Obama, it seems, and this is less conclusive as far as upfront, wide in the open information, but it seems like there is solid evidence out there, and even one person has brought suit, as far as I understand, against Obama for being, well, was he born in Kenya or any number of places, but it surely seems he also has been born outside the United States.
Well, I'm actually having a guest. I think it's going to be tomorrow on a 3 o'clock program, or perhaps it's Friday at our 3 o'clock program. A woman, of course, who's just back from Kenya, a missionary, and she says that everybody over in Kenya knows that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. His brother has talked about it and their Muslim upbringing, but this is never mentioned here in the United States. If that indeed is true, Barack Obama could not legally become president of the United States without an amendment to our Constitution. Is it possible that everybody in Kenya knows that Obama was born over there and nobody in America knows? Well, we're just going to have to see if we can document that any further. But where there's smoke, there's fire, and I think there should be some a real effort to be sure, because wouldn't it be terrible if we went right up into November and finally it came out, the truth, that Obama was not born in Hawaii, as we've been told? But you go right ahead.
Well, this election could certainly be turned upside down on a moment's notice, on a day's notice at any time, up to, I suppose.
And then, of course, we'd have to have Hillary put on the ballot.
Yeah, well, now, what if they waited until after the election? Because right now, there's nothing constitutional against someone running for the... How do I say this? There's nothing unconstitutional about somebody running for the presidency who's born outside the United States. There would be something unconstitutional. In other words, they could get up to the swearing-in ceremony before any of this would come to bear.
And then, of course, we'd end up with Joe Biden. Wouldn't that be great? Anyway, anything else you wanted to say?
Well, or Sarah.
We live in a world gone mad, and the fact that most people are more concerned about, well, you know, what's going to happen to Tom Brady's knee and whether he's going to be able to return to football, or certainly what's going to happen to Alex Jones, the quarterback for the 49ers, who now his shoulder's out and he probably won't be able to play again this year. They're far more concerned about that than they are about the future of our nation, of our children, of our heritage. And that's a sad commentary. But our job is to try to get people looking at what's going on and hopefully joining us in this epic struggle to try to save America. Anything else, Mike?
Well, I'm not voting Republican this time around, but I'll bet Sarah's a better shot than Hillary.
All right, fine.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, God bless. Well, thanks very much for being with us. And right now we've got Jack calling, and it was Jack calling from Michigan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Jack, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Dr. Stan, I just had the call when you recounted the missionary lady's account of Kenya, was it?
Yes, he's just as back from Kenya as she called me today and asked if we could do a program, and I told her we would work her in. Actually, she's going to be a guest actually on the 18th at the 3 o'clock program. Her name is Bree Keaton.
Great. Well, believe it or not, I heard today on a afternoon talk radio show that Osama Barack is the most popular guy in Kenya.
Yeah, his name is Barack Hussein Obama.
I know, but I say Osama Barack.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
No, it's like Osama bin Laden.
Right.
Where are you? And then throughout all this, what I call election deception, hoopla and hyperbole, I recall what old Ben Franklin said, I presume at the end of the Constitutional Convention, a republic if you can keep it.
That's Mrs. Powell actually had met him on the stairs of the Independence Hall there in Philadelphia and said, what sort of a government have you given us? And he said, a republic if you can keep it.
Right.
And, of course, the Benjamin Franklin's assistant overheard the conversation, recorded that in his memoirs, and that's become, you know, certainly one of the most famous statements ever recorded. So,
indeed. And so, in pondering the merit and import of that statement, it's brazenly obvious to me that, as the one caller mentioned about preoccupying the minds, and they do that very insidiously and cleverly, as you have eloquently described in so many ways, these assaults on everyone's brain function, to the extent that it's essentially overloaded with all this trash, doublespeak, disinformation, propaganda. And I've reached the conclusion that voting is simply a demonstration that one is totally deceived and manipulated and then exploited, because by voting one is simply saying, I agree with the system as it is. I want this or that entity in charge. I have reached the conclusion that based on what I read in the Declaration of Independence and what I have heard reviewed by you and others in the Federalist Papers, this is where we need to focus, and we need to organize our local grassroots think tanks, which I'm in the process of doing, and I'm meeting some very interesting people who are obviously a major challenge, because wherever I see a campaign sign, whether it's Barack or McCain, and I want to remind the audience, whoever is out there tonight, imagine McCain, I say John Insane McCain, for many reasons, but from Phil Tourney's presentation the other night, you know, McCain, in my opinion, would just be a major nightmare.
Well, I think I've got some people all waiting on the line, Jack. I understand your frustration, but I would try to point out that both political parties are controlled by the same people. That doesn't mean we shouldn't vote. I mean, you should be voting for somebody that you believe in, and there are people out there who are running, whether you're a rightist or a leftist, who do stand for the principles we believe in, and maybe they only get a 100,000 or 300,000 or 500,000 or a million votes, but they need to know that you're out there supporting them, and so you should be voting. You just, but if you're feeling the way you do, you should not be voting for Tweedledum or Tweedledee. Anything else you wanted to say, Jack, before we let you go?
I'm glad you brought it up, Dr. Stan, and I just want to ask you or anyone else out there, since I haven't voted since 92, whether writing in a candidate such as, oh, I don't know, Bob Barr, or you did mention the Constitution Party fellow you had on before. I'd like you to review that, because it sounds like that would be the way to go.
They may very well be on your ballot. You should look at your ballot and see if you make sure that you can vote, and then see if the Libertarian or the Constitution Party or the Green Party candidates on your ballot. And decide if you're going to vote for one of them. Hey, I'm going to let you go, but God bless. Thanks so very much, Jack. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Let's go to Ron, who's calling from Richland, Washington. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, just I had a question about Dr. Kent Hovind.
All right, fine.
I heard he went to jail for some income tax thing.
Right, of course. He basically, and I've forgotten the exact thing, he actually was not withholding the income tax on his employees, saying that that they were not employees, that they were independent contractors, something like this, and they were to pay their own income tax, but he would not withhold the income tax for the government and serve as a government agent collecting money from them. And it was something on that basis that they got him for. And, of course, they would not allow the facts to be presented to the jury. It was very much a set-up situation. They wanted to silence him because he was speaking out on so many important issues. I think that they went after him not simply because of income tax evasion, but they wanted to silence him. And, Kent is a true American patriot, and it was so tragic what he did was sent to prison.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. I kind of wish he just withheld their income tax.
Well, I wish he had, too. And this is the thing I tell people. I don't agree with the income tax. I think it's illegal. I think it's fraudulent. But I pay my income taxes, and we lean over backwards. Why? Because I'm a target, and certainly I don't want to have my wife, my life, and my family destroyed because the IRS comes after us, and they would love to do that if they could find any reason to get us, but they can't because, like Caesar's wife, we try to be above reproach. And in a similar manner, of course, we encourage others to pay their income tax, even though it's fraudulent, and then help us in our effort to expose the fraudulent nature of the IRS. And, of course, I think that when this whole house of cards we're involved with today comes tumbling down, because the whole infrastructure of our society is going to be destroyed. And when we end up, we'll either be in a totalitarian dictatorship or we'll be living as free people under our Constitution. The big basic question is, what is going to happen? How many people are really going to be educated and understand that we have lawless people working at the highest levels of our government who have distorted our Constitution, who fraudulently installed the income tax and the 17th Amendment, that's the 16th and the 17th Amendment, and that a group of very wicked people have taken control of the reins of our government, and those people should be imprisoned, and Kent Hovind should be released.
Well, I agree, but I think most people will vote for the guy who promises them the most.
Well, the trouble is, of course, very, very soon they're not going to be able to promise them the most because they're not going to have any money. The government is going bankrupt. The states are going bankrupt. The local communities are going bankrupt. And we're moving into the worst financial crisis, certainly equal to what happened in 1930 and perhaps far worse. So they're not. People can vote for the man who promises them the most, but he's not going to have anything to give them because there's not going to be the tax money there. And, of course, we're going to see runaway inflation. We're going to see chaos. We're going to see, I believe, riots and unrest in this country unparalleled in the history of our nation and far worse than anything happened in 1930. And the only way that this whole system is ever going to be corrected is the whole thing crumbles. And they have arranged that. What's happening today is not happening by accident. The people in charge, the Alan Greenspans, created the housing bubble. They created this massive inflation. They massively increased our money with nothing behind it. And they're in the process of destroying the financial system of the world. And the question is, why did Alan Greenspan do this? Because Alan Greenspan knows that without a gold-backed currency, there is no freedom. And you can go up on the Internet and read Alan Greenspan's 1966 article, Gold and Freedom. Get it, read it. Ron, you may get an entirely different view of what's going on today. Maybe Alan Greenspan's the greatest patriot we've ever known. I don't know what's in his heart, but I will tell you he has intensely destroyed our economic system. And maybe, just maybe, that's the best thing that ever happened.
Well, I certainly would hope things aren't going to be as bad as you seem to predict. But I think it's going to be that bad or worse. But all we can do is look to the Lord. And the problem is, when things go bad, if people are, the hearts are not right, they won't be looking to a constitutional republic. They'll look to some guy in a monkey suit.
You're absolutely right. Ron. But you see, the thing is, when times get bad, and when the American people, don't have enough money to watch television, their television, the electricity goes out in their home, and they're going to have to sit back and wonder where their next meal is going to come from. It's at that time people are going to think about returning to the Lord. People don't turn to the Lord, most of them, until there's a crisis in their life. I saw this in the doctors when I was practicing. The doctors are about as close to God as you can be, and we were comfortable making a lot of money. You didn't need God. And it was only when they had a personal tragedy in their life, maybe they lost a son, or they had a divorce, or they came under investigation from the state medical board, or something happened that their comfort zone was destroyed. At that point, they began looking for answers, and a number of them became Christians. And maybe that's what it's going to take for the American people as a whole. That's my belief. Anyway, hang on there for just a moment. We'll be right back. We'll wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Hang on, Rich Vaughn. Well, Ron, go right ahead.
Well, I think we should read Deuteronomy 6. And I think it warns us about what happens when people get wealthy and they start thinking it all came from them instead of from God. And you start to become prideful, and that's going to lead to your downfall.
And I agree with you totally. It's because we are so affluent, because we have, of course, such a high esteem for ourselves, and we think that we're so smart, and we've done all of these things, and basically, of course, we haven't done all of these things. What we have is we've worked with what God has given us, and some is rewarded more than others. But what we've got to have to do is turn back to God or face God's judgment on this nation. I believe that with all my heart.
I do too, and if we don't use our blessings for good, we will lose them for good. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Thank you very much for calling. And, of course, that was Ron calling from Richland, Washington. And, of course, our telephone number is ordinarily 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But I hear we're just about out of time for this segment of the program. And what we really want, of course, is to have people understand that we are facing the greatest economic crisis of my lifetime, and certainly of your lifetime. Now, I lived through the Great Depression. I remember the people coming to the front door of our home asking for a sandwich. My father made $100 a month during the Great Depression, my mother was able to feed our family of four on a dollar a day. And then, of course, there was $30 a month that was used to pay on the home. The house we lived in at that time, maybe 800, 900 feet, only cost $3,000, but it was a nice home. And it was in a fairly nice middle-class part of town. And we survived, and people helped one another during that time. There were soup kitchens. There were people who were sleeping under the bridges. But we got through that. And, of course, how did they get through it? Why, the government precipitated a war. And I think that we're going into terrible financial times, and that I think that the evil people in charge are going to precipitate probably the worst war that we've ever seen, and it's going to strike right here at our homeland. And I believe it's going to be a nuclear war. I believe that's why we're doing everything we can to arm the Muslims, in contrast to what we're being told. And if you haven't read the Sybil Edmonds story, go to RadioLiberty.com. That's our website, RadioLiberty.com, and look at my January 2008 newsletter. The January 2008 newsletter, it's the Sybil Edmonds story. Read it. Understand we're preparing for a nuclear war with the Muslim world, and may God protect us. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we do need your help if you're in a position to help us, because we want to keep expanding our audience, and we're picking up more stations here in the afternoon and trying to pick up more stations in the evening. And, of course, this is a, we are not a 501c3 organization because we don't want the government to be able to tell us what to say. And believe me, if we were 501c3, why, you could report us to the IRS and they'd be here telling that I can't say what I want to say about our politicians and how corrupt they are. And so we, you donate to Radio Liberty. It's going to be a, it's going to be a non-501c3, non-tax-deductible gift, but of course we've got an awful lot of people out there who believe in what we're doing, who are willing to make the sacrifice and help us. And so if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Our number 1-800-544-8927. We hope you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, read our newsletters, watch our DVDs, look at the new section is called Other videos, and of course a lot of great things posted there. And then of course we hope that you'll listen to our radio programs there on the internet. They're available also on satellite, shortwave, and on radio stations across America. But we do need you to get other people listening, getting them educated. And then of course we want to once again mention our all-day conference we're going to be having. It's going to be on the 26th of October right here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And of course we're really hope that you'll be able to come. We're bringing in Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we're bringing in Joanna Michelson, who is a medium. We're bringing in Pat Wood, who's going to be talking on finances. It's going to be a great conference. It's all day long. We're serving lunch. We need to know if you're coming. So if you can come, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and make a reservation, and certainly we'll look forward to having you with us at that time. And then, of course, we also certainly hope that many of you will get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You get our talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret. It's been out there for 5,000 years. And this talk will give you so much of a background and understanding of the forces that are there, and the fact that there is a force that you can tap into, and it's a secret force. And you get power, and you get wealth, and you get fame. But if you tap into this, it's at the cost of the risk of your eternal soul. And it's not imaginary, it's there. And many people have tapped into this. Many of our great leaders, our military leaders, our financial leaders, our scientists have tapped into this. Thomas Edison had tapped into this. And of course, he came up with wonderful inventions. Thomas Edison was a member of the Theosophical Society that was formed by Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who worshipped Lucifer and Satan. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read that. And it talks about Thomas Edison and the others who've tapped into the secret force, but you don't want to do it. What you want to do, of course, is get our talk. It's available on DVD called The Secret Knowledge, and of course the forbidden secret, and there's another one called The Secret Knowledge, but The Forbidden Secret I would get first of all along with the syllabus that will give you the documentation for so much of what we talk about. And then of course you need to get the DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You need to get the great new of DVD sets. We have Final Countdown, Pastor Billy Kroll, and they come in two sets of five DVDs each. They're inexpensive. You need to get them to watch them to understand the prophetic significance of so much of what's going on. That's the Final Countdown, Part 1, the Final Countdown, Part 2. You'll really enjoy it. You'll learn a great deal. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers, but to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV, WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ken Klein. And Ken Klein's a fascinating gentleman, Sydney. He's a professional football player for a time. More recent years, he's been doing a lot of research into prophecy, taking trips over to the Holy Land, preparing videos, and, of course, did a lot of video work with the Southwest Radio Church and Noah Hutchings, who's certainly one of our favorite people. But, of course, Ken has put together some programs on prophecy, and I just want you to hear what he has to say. He has some very, very interesting ideas. Ken, thanks so much for being with us again tonight.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Why don't you just go ahead and pick up the story?
That's really throwing it open, isn't
That's
it?
That's right. Well, I'm just going to give you give you the microphone and run with it.
No, let him run with the ball. They didn't let me run with the ball when I played football. They usually put me on defense.
All right, fine.
You're going to rip the ball away from somebody and then take it and go. But I appreciate your offer to let me come on the program and have a chance to share the things that I've been thinking about lately and stuff that actually has been on my heart for a couple of decades. You know, when I first wrote my book that now has become a bestseller, America, Globalism, and the False Prophet, it was 20 years ahead of its time. I had no idea. I started seeing things many, many decades ago. It's like when you talk about in recent years, I've kind of been banging on this drum for, I'm 63 now, so it's been a long time since I played football. And are you still there?
We sure are.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought
go ahead.
I had a click. Anyway, I've kind of been watching things develop since I put this book together, and I've made many films now, but what I've seen and what got me on the track of why I wrote this book years ago, which has been quite a journey for me to watch it develop, was theologians that didn't really have good explanations for the book of Revelation as it pertains to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. I was actually pastoring a church in San Diego. This is in the early 80s. And I became so upset with the fact that I couldn't find answers for this one area of scripture that I resigned my pastorate because I thought, you know what? I've just got to know the answer to this thing. And it had to do with Revelation 13:11, which deals with this second beast that comes up out of the earth called the false prophet. And I studied, I had to take a secular job, and I studied that area of scriptures about, I don't know how many scriptures there, from 11 to 18, I believe, about nine scriptures. I studied that for 6 years, and it took me six years, to crack that code. And that's why I made a film called Cracking the Code, which is the video or movie rendition of the book America, Globalism, and the False Prophet, because we actually cracked a code, and it had never been done before. In the history of Christianity, nobody had ever cracked the code of this second beast. And, well, I give the glory to God. He kept me on track and sent me like Elijah was sent food out in the wilderness by the ravens. The books just came in. They would come in, and they were history books. Tons and tons and tons of history books I went through to track what really had happened in Western civilization for the last 2,000 years. And what I discovered was that you have to follow the money. You have to follow how money developed in that part of the world. And as you follow the money trail...
Oh, that thought will be right back here. All right, fine. Well, let's follow the money then, because, of course, the money is intricately associated with scriptures. I'm certainly, money represents power. Money represents, authoritarian control. And certainly the people who control the money ordinarily control the thrones of the world. So pick the story up there, Ken.
Well, as you follow the money trail, you discover that there were actually three banking centers from around the 10th century. The one was the Knights Templar, who hooked up with the Hospitallers, and then they flowed into the Rosicrucians, and then the Rosicrucians acted as a trust for the Templars, who then evolved into the Masons, and that was one center of wealth. Another were the Italian banks, and then the third were the Jews. The Jews were the most, they weren't the biggest, but they've always been accused of being the center of mammon because of things that happened later. But the real power of money was with the Knights Templar. They're the ones that built all those castles all over Europe that are so fantastic and beautiful. That's who built those. And they had discovered a lot of money on the Temple Mount area when they went in to liberate Jerusalem around 1095 or so under Godefroy de Bouillon. In fact, we get the term gold bullion from his name, Bullion's Gold, and he discovered it. And they became very powerful and financially very solvent, and then they accrued a lot more money. So they were the biggest center of money in the old world, if we can call it the last 1,000 years, the old world. But anyway, about the 1600s, they became more sophisticated in how they were able to manage money, and they came up with the concept of fractional reserve banking, and that's when the Bank of England was formed. And to this day, it's really not clearly known who set up the Bank of England, but most likely it was the Knights Templar who set it up. And I think probably the nation of Switzerland was the place where they set it up. Now, you know that Switzerland's flag carries the Red Cross, and it's really interesting that they would keep a Red Cross as the national insignia of Switzerland. So my suspicion, I've never proven this, but I would suspect, because of the way Switzerland's been set up with secretive banking practices, that that's where they set up their banking, and Switzerland's always been kept as a neutral place because of that reason. So when we go back through the last 400 years, what really has brought the world to this state, including the present debacle?
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ken is talking about, of course, how do you understand what's going on? Well, you have to understand finance. He talks about the various financial groups, certainly the one that began, of course, with the Knights Templar and the Rosicrucians and the Masons, and then, of course, the one that involved the Jews, certainly the one that involved the Venetians. They had a very, very powerful role at one time, but of course Ken believes that the Bank of England, which of course is the prototype of the central banks of today, was really organized out of Switzerland, of course, where the Knights Templar had gone after they were driven from power back in the 1300s. And certainly the Swiss banks are the prototype of modern day banking, and of course this whole concept of fractional reserve banking. So you pick up the story there.
Well, as I'm trying to get back to where I was, the Bank of England was set up, and at that time they discovered how to leverage paper against gold, deposited gold. And they would keep a fraction of that gold to back the paper or currency that was out there. And they learned that people didn't turn in their currency to redeem their gold, so they could circulate more notes, currency, and keep just a fraction of it backed by gold, because people didn't want to carry gold around. It was too heavy. And that was the first essence of inflation, which today, of course, has exploded. And now we have tremendous problems with inflation that they're not able to hide very well, although they do it pretty good through propaganda and twisting of news. But the reason we're finding such trouble in our economy today, and I'm jumping ahead now, in the especially now with the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac debacle, which is the single most intrusive, invasive operation by the government in taking over something of this magnitude. Half the nation's mortgages are in those institutions, which have now been taken over by the government, is because of what's happening with credit, because credit has been tightened, and it's the same thing that's happened in 1907. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so let me go back to banking in Europe. Anyway, banking became centralized in the sense that one family gained control over all of the banks of Europe, and that was the Rothschild family. They were formerly called the Bowers, and they were of Jewish descent. Now, because of their control of banking, the Jewish people have been indicted as those that are behind a Jewish banking conspiracy. But the Rothschilds weren't representative of the Jewish nation or Israel. They were people that had really sunk into a Jewish mysticism, or the Kabbalah, which was Babylonian in its origin, and pretty much were, you know, overtaken by Adam Weishaupt and his Illuminati. And so there was this marriage between the Illuminati and the banking dynasty of the Rothschild family. So they saw that Masonry would be the way to spread their control and grip over the world through the expansion and contraction of credit, which has been the bane of the United States of America since the time of the Revolution. And people today don't really understand American history and what really has been the conundrum that America has faced for most of its existence, ever since the time of the beginning, when we had that great duel between Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton, and that whole duel was over banking. Who would control the central bank of the United States? And so if we exhume that famous duel, which most people today don't even know anything about, we would get to the root of what's been the bane of the United States for over how many years now we've been in existence? 1776? Over 220 years?
It's almost 230 years.
Almost 230 years. And it's always been about banking and who would control credit in the United States. And that's what, you know, Andrew Jackson fought against. It's what Alexander Hamilton fought against. It's what Abraham Lincoln fought against and cost him his life when, John Wilkes Booth, who was, from the Knights of the Golden Circle, it was a British-controlled, secret society, executed him in the assassination. That's, of course, infamous. But, then, as we get farther into the 1800s, you know, the Rothschilds gained control, the J.P. Morgans and the Rockefellers, and orchestrated the Depression of 1907, which was a orchestrated depression to set up the environment and atmosphere for founding the Central Bank of the United States, which was the Federal Reserve System in 1913, I believe.
And because I think the important thing is to understand this is a privately owned central bank.
Yeah.
It is not part of the government, and every effort is made to conceal that from the American people. This is a privately owned central bank established by the bankers for the bankers to enrich the bankers and eventually to impoverish our people. But go right ahead.
It's been all rooted in money. It's all control of the world is all about mammon, or the riches of this world, and money is a representation of the riches of this world. But in the United States, it's who would control banking. And people do not understand, you know, when it goes back to the British, how brilliant they have been, at least the banking dynasty, in world political hegemony, which is, you know, playing one nation against another, using their spy system to infiltrate. They were very sophisticated in the 1700s, and we don't tend to think that way about the Brits, but they were the most brilliant people on the earth, and they controlled the world from the time of the Battle of Waterloo up until the time of the First World War, when they began to lose a grip as an empire. But anyway, in our country, they never stopped trying to subjugate us and bring us back under control, and finally they pulled it off and when the setup of the Federal Reserve System was set in place when Woodrow Wilson won the presidency. Woodrow Wilson was selected by a British agent. His name was Mendel House, and House was his mentor, and House picked this president of Princeton University. He's kind of like the guy that we're seeing who has had little experience in politics running against John McCain right now. So I'm very similar in that respect. Woodrow Wilson had to run against McKinley, the incumbent, and they secretly ran, they connivingly ran Teddy Roosevelt like a Ross Perot, and it split the conservative vote, and Woodrow Wilson won the presidency. He failed to veto the Federal Reserve Act because he was their man. He was their pawn, and eventually, in his second administration after we entered World War One, which he promised that we would never enter into, the British designed the League of Nations, which didn't pass Congress because some wonderful, very brilliant senators who wouldn't let it go. And then Woodrow Wilson died on his deathbed, repented, became a Christian, and was sorry that he felt that he sold out his nation. Then, after the war was over, the Council on Foreign Relations, which was set up during that time, conspired to restart the war, and Hitler was supplied with money to be a instrument that would bring about a second pass at the League of Nations. Only this time it was called the United Nations, and it passed Congress, and so we have now a world government that is really in its appearance, basically, it's like a proxy for the ruling powers of the world. They use that and the United States to do their dirty work with our military. But we really don't have free markets any longer in the United States. They're all manipulated and contrived. And we are heading racing towards globalism. And this is all prophesied in the Bible. And it's what my book is all about. And it clearly explains who is behind all this and how it's been flowing along for hundreds of years, and we've come because it just didn't happen in an instant. It's been evolving, and they use this thing called Jacobinism, which is gradualism, to bring about change when people can't detect it, they can't see it. And that's why this book is so important. If you're wanting to get one of the most important books you'll ever read, and I'm not saying that egotistically, it's because it took 6 years to break the code in the book of Revelation so that God's people can see from a mountaintop what's been going on for hundreds of years underneath their noses and undetected. We are in the beginnings of the Eighth Empire that's prophesied in the book of Revelation, and it's been brought about by this second beast called the false prophet. So anyway, in a nutshell, if you follow the money and you study how it's been manipulated and controlled for the last 400 years, clearly you can get an understanding of who's ruling the world and where it's going.
And it is an excellent book. I've really enjoyed reading that so very, very much, Ken. But go right ahead.
Well, we've also made a film called Cracking the Code, and I recommend people get both the book and the film. The book is $15 and the film, I think, is $24, but we're selling... Or 20, I don't even remember. But you can get it at my website. You get both of them for $24.91. We're trying to get this message out and make it available and affordable to most people. If you go to my website, which is www.kkptv.com, we also have a free offer of a two-hour film called When Greed Turns to Fear. Even if you don't have the money to buy my book and my film, you can certainly get the free film if you just look around on my website and click on it. It's on the left side as you scroll down. When Greed Turns to Fear, it's free. I'll send it to you for free. That'll help you deal with what's coming with the financial debacle. It's like a storm. It doesn't really matter if it's McCain or Obama, because I don't think either of them will be able to handle the destruction of inflation that's coming our way. And so if you're at all watching that or thinking about it, or maybe you're not, you should get this film, When Greed Turns to Fear. But I hope you get Cracking the Code and America, Globalism, and the False Prophet, because it's a good deal, and you'll get a great education. And it's like putting software on a computer. You'll be able to look at things with X-ray vision. You were talking at the beginning of the show, Dr. Stan, about the news behind the news. And that's what this is. This is seeing stuff that's been prophesied but has been locked up in code form, and now you can get it.
Hold that thought, Ken. We'll be right back. Ken, go right ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I was inviting people to my website to, and there's a great trailer there. When you go to the site, www.kkptv, there's a fantastic trailer, and if you look at that trailer, you're not going to want to get off my site because it's very, very exciting, and we have a lot of great stuff on my site that's free. We have a free tour of the Great Pyramid of Giza. I don't know if you knew that, Dr. Stan, but you should go and take the tour. It's a lot of fun. It's about 14 minutes, and I take you inside and all over the place. And we have also another free book called The Coming Battle, and you can download that book for free. And this book was written in the 1800s, and it's explaining exactly what I'm talking about over 100 years ago.
Because this is the financial situation.
It predicts it, and it's amazing. It's free. It's absolutely free. You go to my site and scroll down to the bottom of the page, and you can download it, and there you go. It's absolutely free. So we have a lot of great stuff on the site, www.kkptv.com. You know, for those of you out there that don't have a web capability and you're used to buying stuff with 800 numbers, I'm going to give you an 800 number, but you may not be able to get through because they don't, if they're open tonight, they maybe only have one or two operators. So if you can't get through, you can call it tomorrow. But it's 1-800-892-9007. I would recommend you write it down if you like to order that way. 892-9007. Of course, it's an 800 number. It's free. 1-800-892-9007. Call it if you want tonight. But if you can't get through, call tomorrow. They'll have all the operators. It's not one of those big, huge, answering services. It's just a small one. That's the one I use. 892-9007.
All right, fine. Of course, Ken's done a great deal of work on this whole thing, and he's really so correct as far as the relationship between what's happening financially. And you can't understand what's going on financially today unless you understand the spiritual aspect of what's taking place at the same time. And so we look at finances, we look at spiritual, but you've got to put them together because one without the other really doesn't make a lot of sense. But we are certainly in the greatest financial crisis of my lifetime, and believe me, I lived through the Great Depression. I was just a boy at the time, but I can remember it, and I can remember it very well. So go right ahead, Ken.
You know, Jesus was speaking in parables in his day because it was a way that he could code and keep esoteric information from people that were godless. And that's what he said, I've given these things to you in parables because your eyes are open, but people's hearts have waxed dull, but unto you it's been given to understand the secrets of the kingdom. And he went on to explain another parable, and the parable was about a farmer, and I'm going to paraphrase it, who had planted his crop, and during the night an enemy of this farmer went in and planted poisonous seeds. They put seeds in the ground that would just spoil the guy's crop. Now, this was a common practice when people wanted to do evil to their neighbors. They would actually do that type of thing. They would plant a bad seed and ruin the guy's crop. The Germans did it in World War II with the Irish. They dropped potato beetles into Ireland, and this is a common practice. And so... When you read this, you go, well, that's really interesting. God's kingdom would have evil in it, you know. And when you look at this world, that's the way this world is. This world is full of good and evil.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. And of course, our guest is Ken Klein. We're talking about the eternal battle between good and evil, which is being played out today, not only on the political but also on the financial and military battlefields. Go right ahead.
And so where does this come from? And it comes from the spiritual world. It comes from, Plato had it right to a degree. He said that the real world is an unseen world or a spiritual world, and the material world is like a shadow of the spiritual world. But he went off the table when he said, but the material world is evil. The material world isn't evil. It's just another dimension of reality. It's not evil. But evil can come into this world, and it can come into this world because there's forces of darkness that people can draw from and bring into this world manifestations of that darkness. And this is what happened in the British Empire when the Rothschilds misconstrued the concept that you will lend to nations but you won't borrow. And they used it in a negative way to bring people into servitude. That was never the spirit of what was being said, but it was twisted. And so men in this world will twist the truth. They'll twist things for their own advantage and their own greed. And in the British Empire, one of the things that happened was the formation of what very few people know about, which was the East India Company. The East India Company was filled with all kinds of twisted thinkers, one of which was Charles Darwin. The existential writers like Thoreau and Emerson, Karl Marx and Frederick Engels were also part of the East India Company, and these men were the inventors of communism, which is godlessness. And they set up a political system that was the counterweight to capitalism, to create this polemic and create this dramatic dynamic. And this is all stuff that came out of the spiritual realm of darkness. And that's what's been happening for several hundred years in our country, which basically was founded on pretty righteous principles. The separation of church and state was set up as one of the amendments to the Constitution to keep the king from dictating what people should believe. It was set up to protect our country from a monarchical system. And so we have a tripartite system of three branches of government so that it would stay in balance and no one man could gain power. And that was how it was set up. But over the years, money has been utilized to destroy our system. Now we don't have the kind of freedom that we had at the beginning. Because whether you run capitalism, unfortunately, to an extreme, or whether you run communism to an extreme, the same result happens, and that is the destruction of the middle class. And that's what we have going on today, the destruction of the middle class. So our system has been violated and infiltrated by dark forces that are ripping away the foundations of the beginning of our country. And that's the situation we're in today. We're in a very dire straits because we're moving towards a time when there's going to be a global world government. And there's no stopping it, Stan. It can't be stopped. It can only be slowed down, but it cannot be stopped. It's inevitable because just as, these seeds were sown into the field, so has evil seeds been sown into our field, and it's going to produce a crop. And there's no stopping it. There's a DNA to evil. And it's explained in the book of Revelations as the Antichrist, the Beast, and the False Prophet, and Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots. Those are negative DNA codes that we see in pictographic form. And God let that be seen to the Apostle John to warn the world of the nature of this world and what's going to happen. But most people live in the valley they can't see from the mountaintop. And that's why I keep, people think I'm in this for the money. I'm not a rich man. I'm just trying to get the word out. And I don't take offerings. The only way I make it is if people buy my stuff, whether they buy it or not. God owes supplies. But this book and this film that we have is I don't know why it's not all over the world. We've sold quite a bit of them over the last 10 years. But it's a very, very important book for people so they can get a mountaintop understanding of history and the times in which we live.
Well, I think it's an excellent source of information. The material is well framed, and I certainly support you in your effort to get it out. Our guest, of course, is Ken Klein. And, of course, he has his ministry. He's worked very closely with Southwest Radio Church and Noah Hutchings, certainly some of our favorite people. And we've had Ken on many times through the years, and we'll have him on many times from now. Of course, we get him on our other programs, our morning, afternoon programs, because I want everybody to hear his story. Everything he said so far, I agree with totally. We're involved in a spiritual battle. And until people recognize these spiritual forces, you can't understand what's happening politically or economically in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. You go right ahead, Ken.
Well, you know, I think it's important. I don't listen to a lot of radio because I'm so busy producing stuff. But there's a guy he's a Jewish fellow on the radio, and he's a conservative, Michael Savage. I don't know if you ever heard of Michael Savage.
Oh, I know Michael. Go ahead. Yeah, he's a very, very sharp guy. He actually has a PhD.
Yeah, he's a very smart guy, and I didn't hear him say this, but I heard from somebody that heard him on the radio that he said he's giving up and all he's going to do now is study history. And that's all he wants to do is study history. And I'm going, well, you know, he may not be a convert yet, but he's headed in the right direction to try to understand the truth about what's happened in the world for the last couple hundred years. And you know, when I was in school, I never was interested in history. It just bored me. It was boring. But when you see it connect with the spiritual realities, it becomes, filled with life. And you begin to see, over the course of time, that we have been witnessing for 5,000 years, in every age, in every time period, the evolving beast that's mentioned in Revelation 13, coming up out of the sea. It's been coming up out of the sea. I think it's important when you look at apocalyptic literature to take a good look at it. And this beast that we're seeing coming up out of the sea slowly emerges out of the sea. And the sea is a metaphor of peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. That this beast that we see is a satanic seed that John is being able to he's beginning to understand the DNA of this visual, and he sees this force in a beast, which is a representation of an evolving geopolitical system coming up out of the nations, the ethnos of the world, over a long, long period of time. It begins back way before the Christian era, all the way back to the Egyptian time of the pharaohs. Now, there was a pre-pharaonic period that I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about when Egypt became united, when the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom united under Menes. That was the beginning of the first head of the beast. And Egypt ruled the world for many, many, several thousand years until it began to disintegrate around 1000 B.C., and then it was supplanted by the Assyrian Empire.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, I guess it's Ken Klein. And Ken, before you go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they get your material, and then we'll get back to an understanding, of course, the significance of history and the Egyptian Empire and the Assyrian Empire and the Medes and the Persians. But how can people get to your website and get your information and your book and that video?
Okay, thanks for reminding me to plug it. I appreciate that very much. But you can go to my website. There's a lot of free stuff. There's free films, free books. But my book, unfortunately, I have to charge you for because I have to make a living somehow. My book is called America, Globalism, and the False Prophet, and it comes with a video rendition called Cracking the Code. Normally this sells for about $40, but I'm selling it for $24, so you get both of them for almost, not quite half price, but pretty close to it, plus the shipping. And you can find it at www.kkptv, P as in Paul, kkptv.com. And just go there and just have a good time because we have a lot of free stuff. I have a free trip in the pyramids. I just did a trilogy, Stan, on the Great Pyramid. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I need you to get the book for your sake. It's called America, Globalism, and the False Prophet. And Cracking the Code is the film rendition. It's $24.71, I think, and the shipping. And if you don't use the internet, because you're used to calling 800 numbers, I'm going to give you an 800 number to call as well. 1-800-892-9007. I recommend you call tomorrow, not tonight. They do have operators there. You may get through, you may not get through, but 1-800-892-9007. Call it tomorrow whenever you can, 892-9007. Or if you like using the website, it's kkptv.com, kkptv.com, and I know you'll have a good time. We have a lot of articles and essays. It's a fun place to go.
No, the KK is for Ken Klein. What's the P for?
Ken Klein Productions.
Production. TV. Okay, kkptv.com. Okay,
right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just explaining that this beast, because there's a lot of confusion, Stan, between the beast and the Antichrist. And people think that they say, well, when the beast comes. You know, the beast has been with us for thousands of years. It started, the first head on the beast was the Egyptian Empire. So it's not coming in the sense that it hasn't been here. It is coming because it's not quite fully out of the sea that it's emerging from, but it began in the Egyptian Empire about 3000 BC, and then the Assyrian Empire was the second head, and then the third empire was Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar and the kings that followed him. The Medes and the Persians were the fourth. Then came the Grecian Empire, which was the fifth. And it says clearly when John's seen this in the spiritual dimension, almost like in a dream state, he says five of those heads have fallen, which was Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greece. The sixth was the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was the one that was what was called now, the one that is now. And, of course, the Roman Empire declined, and then there was a time when there was no head of the beast. For almost 1,000 years, there was no beast, because all the imperial heads had been died off. But it said there'll be a seventh head. Now, and that seventh head would get slain. Well, now most people think, well, that seventh head is the Antichrist. But how do you go empire, 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 and then the next head is an Antichrist? No. The next head is also an empire, and it was the British Empire. There never was an empire that ever existed like the British Empire. The sun never set on the British Empire. They controlled China, India. They controlled the world. And then that head was slain by the great wars. World War I and World War II are really just one war with a cessation of hostilities for a period of time, but they were really one war. When that war was over, there was no more British Empire. It was destroyed. And what came up out of those seven heads, or the seventh head, was the eighth head, which was the United Nations. And those that control that were from England and the United States. And those two countries are explained in Revelation 13:11, and it's explained as the false prophet. And the false prophet has been thought to be a man. But there hasn't been enough work done to really take a close look at that second beast and deal with it from what all the other scriptures say about how to interpret symbolism. And so people have just kind of like, subjectively taken pot shots at trying to explain what the false prophet is. And many people think it's the Pope, but it's not the Pope at all, not even close. My book explains this in great detail, using only Bible verses to bring light to bear on the explanation of this second beast. And we can't afford to miss the understanding of what it is because of really bad theology. But unfortunately, we've had nothing but bad theology concerning the beast and the Antichrist, and they're all different. They're all different entities, and so is Mystery Babylon. We're just finishing, by the way, Dr. Stan, a film on Mystery Babylon. I should have it out in about a week or two. It's called In the Shadow of Babylon, and it'll be available shortly, and it explains this mystery that has infected the beast, because this woman rides on the beast. And all these symbolisms, you know, haven't been talked about in the Christian church for at least 10 years with any clarity, maybe longer, and maybe not any clarity that has brought real satisfaction to the people that have listened to those teachings. So these are things that We have dusted off, clarified, spent lots of time and lots of money producing so that we could educate God's people or anybody that wants to find out what these mysteries are all about. And that's what my destiny is all about, uncovering mysteries and bringing them into the light of day so that we don't have to be ignorant and live in a time where we just have our heads in the sand, which is where most people are at today. And it seems like in many respects they're getting worse and not better. But I hope that, you know, what we produce helps people and opens their eyes to see that we live in a situation here on this planet that is very dark. It's a dark planet. The spiritual light is dimming, it seems to me. But hopefully, you know, we'll see a change in that.
All we can do is do our best. Ken, you're called to do it your way. I'm called to do it my way, but certainly we want to give you a voice and get your information out because, of course, this is a spiritual battle, but, of course, the powerful financial forces at work, political forces at work, and certainly what we're seeing today, of course, is leading us towards the destruction of civilization, of Christian civilization as we knew it. Question is, how is it going to end up? And our job is to do our best, and, of course, in the final analysis, God will make the decision. So go right ahead, Ken.
Well, I think it's interesting what you say. We're seeing the destruction of Christian civilization. I think that's kind of prophetic because it says in concerning Mystery Babylon, and it's pretty inclusive of everything. You know, what is Mystery Babylon? And this is, of course, the woman that rides the beast that has the seven heads and the ten horns. So there's some force driving this entity that comes up out of the sea to its conclusion, and that force is Mystery Babylon. And Mystery Babylon is not New York City. You know, David Wilkerson says it's New York City. Some say it's London because of the Rothschilds banking dynasty. Some say it's Jerusalem because that's where the Lord was slain, and it's called Sodom. And then, of course, the classical one is Rome because it sits on seven hills, which is a confusion because those hills are explained as kings, and they're only metaphors of kings. So Rome is not it either. So what is Mystery Babylon? Mystery Babylon is Nimrod's Babylon that is no more, but the elements and the forces within that great city which ruled the world prior to the Egyptian era, the force of that world is what's been driving the empires of the world for thousands of years, and we can't see it because it's invisible. And so it's not any physical entity. It was a physical entity at one time, but it doesn't exist anymore. The whole idea of it being rebuilt in Iraq is just a confusion because this woman's been riding the beast for 5,000 years, so it can't be the rebuilt physical, literal city of Baghdad or there close to. It is ancient Nimrodian Babylon, and it says the merchants of the sea will weep. The people of the world that were slain, everybody that was slain, will weep. It talks about all of these entities coming to a destruction in a short period of time, and it says, and this is what I was getting at, even the bride and the bridegroom will not be heard in her any longer, which says to me, you know, this destruction of Christian civilization goes to what is prophesied in the whole story of Babylon, which is a world civilization in which everybody dwells. So the light seemed to be going out, and it seems to follow with what you said, the destruction of Christian civilization. So we have to remain vigilant for the sake of those that God has tapped on the shoulder and says, no, you're mine. They may not know it yet, but we have to continue to be light in the darkness until we can be light in the darkness no more.
All right, we'll go right ahead.
Well, you know, I think when you look at the United States of America and you see, Washington, D.C. laid out in Masonic symbols, and the Masonry comes from the Knights Templar, and the Knights Templar were the military arm of the Priore de Sion. And the Priore de Sion was an organization set up by Clovis Merivee, who claimed that he was a descendant of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And it goes back to Matthew 28, when the Jewish Sanhedrin paid off the soldiers to say, no, Jesus didn't really die. He recovered from his wounds and he split and he went off with Mary Magdalene. And that legend is spread before, because Matthew wasn't really produced or it wasn't published until 30 years after the resurrection, that the story of the false story that was financed by the Jewish Sanhedrin, because they were afraid that if people ever knew that Jesus rose from the dead, it would change the world. They started an evil story, and it became a cloud over Europe, and you find this Merovingian lineage that links in with the Habsburg family controlling the thrones of Europe, and then it spreads to the United States, and we find the Washington Monument, this Egyptian obelisk that goes back to this whole Nimrodian legend that they claim Jesus was fulfilling as an avatar and he wasn't really the Son of God. Then we can find out what the roots of Islam are. We can find out where Gnosticism came from. We can understand how the gospel was perverted, like the seeds in the farmer's yard that were planted by his enemy. And we can see why there's a destruction going on in Christendom, because we're finding this element now spreading like leaven, which is another parable that Jesus spoke about. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman that hid leaven in the meal, and that leaven is expressed as sin or darkness or negative DNA. And then we can see the world is being folded in on with darkness. And it's no wonder, you know, we're watching our society be destroyed, because the elements of those seeds that were planted long ago are finding their evil fruit now. And we're finding that our field has been spoiled by darkness. And if people want to live in that, well, I guess that's their choice, because God's never going to take away our freedom of choice, and he's not going to ram Christianity down anybody's throat, although there's Christians that try to do that. If we just look at history, like Michael Savage is trying to do it, then we can see it happening. We can see it unfolding over long periods of time, and here we are in a darkened room now, not even knowing that the lights have been turned out because we've been asleep. And so, you know, the call of God today is arise and open up your eyes. Wake up into the world that you live is a world that is being destroyed by elements of darkness, and it's going to have, the lights are going to go out. And what remains to be seen is your light going to go out. And so we have to work hard to stay awake, because it's very easy to go to sleep and be overcome by the darkness. I mean, I know that I don't go to sleep at night unless it's dark. I can't even sleep in my bedroom, you know, sometimes, because light comes in from the outside, and I have to have a dark room to go to sleep. Well, as it gets darker, in the spiritual sense of it, people are succumbing to it and falling asleep. And it's just like the parables talk about, it's happening right as we speak. So I want to encourage people to, you know, choose, make some important choices about what you're going to feed yourself. And when I say that, I mean, what are you ingesting into your mind, and what are you reading, and what do you spend your time at, you know, because we really don't have time to waste any longer, because time is wasting.
But of course, you know, Ken, there has been infiltration of the evangelical church. I mean, there are all sorts of heresies that are being spread in the form of books, and many of the so-called Christian leaders are taking people into all sorts of ancient forms of meditation and really Gnostic beliefs. There are all sorts of new books coming out being praised by the Christian leaders that are doing everything they can to lead people away from Christianity. What we need to do is get back to simple, old-fashioned biblical Christianity, and a belief, of course, that the scriptures are the word of God, and that's where we have to put our faith, not in the latest doctrine, not in the latest gimmick, not the latest means of trying to reach people, but get back to biblical Christianity.
Well, you know, the word of God is in the Bible, and there have been things in the Bible. This is, I'm not arguing with you, but there have been things in the Bible, unfortunately, that have been tamperings by people, that just like the seed in the field, where people have tampered with the Bible. One of the scriptures that I think of, and this is why we have to read the Bible with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will point out things to us that we wouldn't normally catch if we weren't paying attention. For example, In First John 5:7, in the King James Bible, it says that there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. But what's interesting about that, Dr. Stan, and this is, I love the Bible, don't misunderstand me, I try to read it every day, but there have been insertions by men. The Bible even warns that people would do that. If you'd add to it, then, you know, all kinds of things would happen. But this particular insertion was by King James scholars that were trying to make a point about the Trinity, but it's not in the original codexes, at least I've never seen them. And so we have some tampering with the Bible that we need to be aware of. We can't just we have to read it in the Spirit, because the Spirit is truth too, not just the Scriptures. The Spirit is truth. So we have to have the Spirit and the truth in balance if we expect to be fed properly. So I just want to caution people, at least this is my understanding for what you can receive from me. Read the Bible, read it with the Holy Spirit. Now you can't read it with the Holy Spirit unless you've been born again. So you got to get born again, but as you become enlightened by the Holy Spirit, you can read with the light of Christ on the Bible that is, I would say, 99% right, but there's a few inaccuracies in it that we have to be careful of.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Ken, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I don't want to do. I want to make it clear that I love the Bible and I read the Bible every day, and I would encourage people to read the Bible. But remember, the Bible is hard to understand unless you have received Christ first. And when you receive Christ, He begins to give you the Holy Spirit, and it's an ongoing filling of the Spirit. It's not a once type thing. It's an ongoing expanding of your heart with the Holy Spirit, so you become more enlightened by the Word of God. So I just want to make sure that I make it clear that I love the Bible. All my books that I write and all the films that I produce are about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're about His kingdom, and it's how to grow in His kingdom, and it's how to be aware of the things that would come against the kingdom. The Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. And that's a warning that there are things that would come to try to disturb the kingdom of God. Nicholas of Antioch was a classic example. Hymenaeus and Alexander, where there were others. There's been people throughout time that have tried to pervert the Bible and take people away in cults and all kinds of strange teachings. So you got to be aware of the fact that there's things that will come to try to rob you and steal from you, spiritual things, and you have to be very careful as you walk with the Lord. So I want to encourage everybody to, in their walk with Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, came. He is the personification of the Heavenly Father in the flesh. He's come to redeem us and take us back to where we belong. So it's a great, great thing to know the Lord and to walk with the Lord and be saved. And I want to encourage people to do that and study and be diligent, because we're in a dark time. We're in a very dark time.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Ken. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, and I'm not sure it's going to survive. And if it does, it will, of course, because of God's intervention. So our job is, of course, to get the word out. I think you're doing a great job, and I will be contacting you to try to get you into some of our other programs. And you've been at this for a long time, haven't you?
I've been a believer in the Lord for 30, almost 40 years.
Well, I think it's wonderful. And of course, you've done a lot of great material. In fact, I really think your book is great. We stopped carrying it only because it was out of print there for a time, and then it got back in print. We never did get another copy of it, and then, of course, began stocking it again. But we'd like to help you get your material out. I remember reading it and being amazed, of course, at the clarity with which you presented your interpretation of those scriptures there in Revelation, which is so hard to understand. Well, we're out of time. God bless, Ken. We'll be talking to you real soon. Thanks so much. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we do hope that you enjoyed our program with Ken Klein, and he has some fascinating ideas, and of course, there really is this tie-in between what's happening from the scriptural point of view and what's happening financially in the world today. Well, then, of course, where do you begin? Well, let me suggest, if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. It's easy to read. And then, of course, hearing our talk on the Forbidden Secret, and we'll take you into an understanding of the Gnostic influence in our world today, the Forbidden Secret, and then the secret knowledge. They two overlap one another, but the syllabus goes with the Forbidden Secret. Our talk on the planned police state is very, very important. I think the Chris Pinto's DVDs, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, are very important. His DVDs on the secret mysteries of America's beginning, and Riddles and Stones, secret mystery gets into the background of the Elizabethan era in England, and of course the secret societies that were there, the Rosicrucians, they're coming to America, and then this conflict in America between the Christian and the occult, and this is what people have missed. A lot of Christians say, oh, this is a Christian nation. Well, yes, it is a Christian nation. It was founded by Christians, but there is also the occult influence here that today is dominant in Washington, D.C. So you must understand the dichotomy, and that's where secret mysteries, the secret mysteries of America's beginning, is so important. And then, of course, Riddles in Stone, the secret architecture of our nation's capital, showing the occult influence that has existed back in the 1790s and as it exists in our country today. And you'll actually hear many people associated with Masonry talking about their anti-Christian beliefs and who they really worship. And, of course, this is a Luciferian religion. Masonry is a Luciferian religion. It is founded in Gnosticism, which was, of course, passed down from the ancient mystery religions through ancient Babylon, and then, of course, became the gospel of the Kabbalah, and then of the Gnostics, were a first-century heresy, and then of the Templars and the Rosicrucians, of the Illuminati, and modern-day Masonry. All of these are manifested today, and there literally are millions of Masons today here in the United States working for the destruction of our nation, and most of them don't even know it because they don't understand the Gnostic origins of Masonry. And all you have to do is read Albert Pike's readings, and he will tell you that what we're seeing today is the fulfillment of the ancient Gnostic Gospels. And what were they? Why, of course, the fact that Lucifer is the true God. And till you understand this is what the battle is about, you can't understand why we're losing the battle today. And of course, how these people have infiltrated the Christian church and are doing everything they can to destroy the faith and belief of our people. Well, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get copies of any of our programs, we'd love to have them, make them available to you. So, again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. We encourage you to read my newsletters. Many of them will take you in an understanding of the things we talk about, to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to listen to our programs regularly, but to encourage others to listen to our programs. Because, of course, we have a wonderful opportunity now as things get worse and worse, as the America we've known becomes a remembrance of things past. We're moving into a period of chaos and crisis and violence and of course, apostasy as well. And we have to be there. We have to know what we believe in. We have to understand the scriptural significance of what's going on today. And our job is to reach as many people as we can. And if you listen to our programs, you'll learn how to present these ideas. Always ask questions. Don't lecture people.